Dr. Patrick J. O'Rourke. Pat.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The last person shows how hungry I am for company. Most of you have been quite kind to me in the first few weeks, thinking that I would be inundated with visitors from all parts of the campus. What you misunderstood was that everyone was thinking exactly the same way, and so there haven't been all that many. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm most pleased to join you as a member of the University of Alaska Fairbanks and to extend my welcome to you for the 1981-82 academic year. This year, some of you may know and some of you may not, will complete the 60th year, the end of the sixth decade of existence for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Some of you can look back over portions of this history. I don't think there's anyone here who can look back over all of it, and measure the advances that have actually been made. Throughout this next decade, you must share with us your knowledge of what worked and what didn't work so that we are able to build upon the knowledge and advances of the past as well as our prognostications for the future. In general, let me explain how I'd like to proceed with the convocation today. I have some general remarks that I'd like to make, and I've asked Vice Chancellor Bennett to address the FY82 budget. I generally seek to try to enter into dialogue, but I also realize this is our first convocation this year, but feel free, following my remarks and following Dr. Bennett's remarks, to address questions to either of us. We had also wanted to have Peter McCroy, President of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Assembly, with us today to talk about the assembly. Unfortunately for us, probably fortunately for Peter, he has not yet returned from Australia. It is my hope, however, that we will have a number of convocations throughout the year, and that increasingly these will take the form of dialogue. I need to know firsthand what your concerns and issues are, and I think that you need to know firsthand what some of my views on these issues might be, so that the mutual process of shaping each other's ideas and behaviors might begin to take place. I must tell you that I am truly a believer in the concept of synergy, whereby the product of the individual energies working in congruence far exceed the sum of the individual parts. Let me emphasize that notion of congruence, for I find it essential to the development, to our development as an institution. We must reduce any internal friction in order to optimize our performance as a whole. I seek to work toward this end, but I also recognize that congruence can be approached only if all constituent parts have an opportunity to have their views heard. I will try to work toward this particular process. Administrations in general, and perhaps administrators in particular, have a general tendency to receive input from faculty and staff, but then never report back. Beginning today, we would like to try to reverse this process, and again, toward this end, Vice Chancellor Bennett will share with you a general rundown of the FY82 budget and a listing of new budgeted increments approved by the policy and budget team which he chairs. In a future convocation, in approximately a month or so, we will address our FY83 request and provide you with all of the information relative to this that we can. In addition to the convocations, I plan to review each of the colleges, schools, and institutes in the next month or so in some degree of depth in order to obtain a more intimate knowledge of your programs and activities. And I hope that your deans will continue to extend to me throughout the year periodic invitations to meet with them, department heads, and faculties of their schools and colleges. As I prepared my remarks for this afternoon, I did question myself as to what a new chancellor, who's been on the job a sum total of only 3 weeks, could knowledgeably say to his faculty and staff. The key word here is knowledgeably. In one sense, I'm humble enough to say, not very much. However, in another sense, because of my newness and freshness to this campus, perhaps my initial impressions will serve to raise some valid questions toward which we might address over the course of this year. The first of these is somewhat of a fun problem, and that is accommodating our increasing growth in enrollment. To date, we have received, this is as of August 21st, 3,165 applications. We have accepted 2,123. This compares with 1980, a year ago, at this time, or actually a week earlier, on the 15th of August, we had received 2,669 applications and had acceptances totaling 1,882. The late applications office has received 92 applications and has 35 acceptances. As you probably are aware from reading the newspaper, we have a major problem in student housing, where we're currently at 113% of occupancy. Needless to say, these figures have a number of ramifications. How many additional sections will be necessary? What additional faculty will be required? Classrooms, labs, dorms, etc. We must improve our enrollment projections in the future and tie them much more closely to our planning process. And we must deal with these on both a long-term and short-term basis. Long-term, additional faculty and facilities are indeed required, and we will request these. However, I believe in the service orientation of the land-grant university and feel that we must make strong efforts to accommodate those students who meet our admissions requirements. Toward this end, then, we reopened the admissions process in August, and we must now plan to accommodate even greater numbers next year. Relative to student housing, we must find a way to enlist the assistance of the private sector. For although we are requesting in FY83 a 240-bed complex, we are at least 3 years away from having such complex ready for occupancy. We must look carefully at our class scheduling, for although our utilization of existing facilities is fair, our space utilization study, which was completed last year, shows a number of hours of the day, and I'm sure you can guess which, that are underutilized, normally pre-9:30 a.m. and post-3:30 p.m. Additionally, a study performed by the Legislative Research Agency approximately a year ago revealed that this campus had, with the exception of a few rural units, the highest cost per FTE of any college or university in the University of Alaska system. I ask that rather than raise an immediate defense, we must analyze and look at these figures to determine why this is the case and use this data as well as others that we can all bring to bear to make honest judgments about ourselves. We must look at those units that are experiencing growth and assure that we maintain and improve our quality while at the same time improving our efficiency. Secondly, we must acknowledge that our research units are experiencing some considerable stress and turbulence due to the uncertainty of federal support. Currently, 80% of our research effort is supported by the federal government, and yet much of our Arctic research has particular relevance to the state of Alaska as it begins to set public policy. For that research which is vital to Alaska, we must also improve our state support so that our research activities truly support our institutional purposes for being, rather than our research activities being so dollar-driven and determined by federal grants and contracts that we inadvertently broaden our mission beyond that which we carefully and cognitively determined it to be. Toward this end, I would also call your attention to a piece of legislation which was entered in Congress in July by Senator Murkowski called the Arctic Research Policy Bill. Copies of this will be printed in our biweekly newsletter in the near future, and we will be putting together a task force to address Senator Murkowski's bill. Third, our summer program, while improved, is not overly exciting. Frankly, I guess I must admit, I found the month of August somewhat dull in terms of the degree of activity on campus. I think we must look quite closely at a trimester system in addition to our special summer sessions. And given our natural environment, we can become a splendid place for summer study and over time, hopefully, find a way to contract with faculty for 2 out of 3 trimesters. Fourth, we are not doing the job in the education and development of Alaskan Native leadership. In almost 2 decades, our progress appears minimal, and yet these are our people who depend upon this institution almost solely. Some preliminary facts indicate the following. One, in 1963, 81% of Alaskan Native students left the University of Alaska Fairbanks and did not re-enroll. In 1975, 12 years later, 75% left without re-enrolling, a gain of only 6% in over a dozen years. In 1963, 12% of Native freshmen entered with ACT scores of 10 or below. In the late 70s, 55% of entering Native freshmen had scores of 10 or below. Evidently, we are not attracting the academically talented Alaskan Native students. We must ask ourselves why and find ways to improve. In the late 60s and early 70s, the number of Alaskan Native students receiving bachelor's degrees from the University of Alaska Fairbanks increased dramatically. However, in the late 70s, that number has further declined. Ladies and gentlemen, we must reestablish a commitment and find a way to improve this picture. Regional Native corporations as a group make up the single largest segment of Alaska's private economy. Let us not condemn them to failure by turning our backs on their requests and pleas for a competently trained and educated leadership. Improved recruitment and retention is called for, along with short-term high-level management workshops and seminars for the existing leadership. Fifth, it appears that we have a number of minor international activities underway, but that we have not addressed on an institutional policy level what the University of Alaska Fairbanks ought to be doing in the international arena. Alaska is in a key position economically in the world market. We have some natural ties with Asian nations and some common problems with other northern latitude countries. Let us, over the course of this year, examine our institutional purpose and potential role in international education. Sixth, a number of faculty issues need to be addressed. Faculty have indicated to me that they seek more viable involvement in the decision-making process. For the most part, my initial review seems to indicate that mechanisms are in place to deal with these issues. Thus, I need your help in better identifying the problem. Are the mechanisms poor? Do they need to be changed? Do we fail to use them adequately? Do we not address vital issues? And if so, why not? Do we in the administration fail to raise with you as faculty these vital issues? Do you as faculty debate them ad infinitum so that no resolution is ever possible. I look forward to an early meeting with the Assembly in order to address some of these issues. In the meantime, let me present a general operating philosophy. I do not wish to respond to proposals from the statewide administration on faculty issues. I wish this campus to take a leadership position across the system in addressing problems and proposing solutions which might then be implemented because of our lead, not because we have followed. If we are in a reactive rather than an advocacy posture as it relates to faculty issues, we have no one but ourselves to blame. Let us take the lead in addressing concurrent rank, promotion, and evaluation. And speaking of evaluation, I am pleased to report that the planning is well underway to implement a new system for gathering student assessment of teaching effectiveness beginning in the spring semester of 1982, not this fall, but next spring. Over the past three semesters, most of you are aware that various committees of the Fairbanks Assembly have examined the current assessment system, student assessment system, together with a number of alternatives. That work culminated in a recommendation last May that the University of Alaska Fairbanks adopt a new system based in part on one developed and tested over a 10-year period by Purdue University. The Purdue system is being modified following the Assembly's recommendations to meet the unique needs of the University of Alaska Fairbanks while retaining the system's own unique features. The ability of an individual faculty member to select a portion of the questions to fit the unique circumstances of every class that he or she teaches. This is the particularly interesting feature of this system. During the fall semester, Vice Chancellor Bennett's office will be asking you as individual faculty to participate in selecting the questions that will comprise the core of questions common to the faculty at the university, school, or college and department level. Gathering student assessments of teaching effectiveness is clearly only one of several means of assessing an individual's capabilities. It is my hope that the Fairbanks Assembly will pursue its unfinished business, that of establishing an advisory committee to examine all means by which we might assess our improved effectiveness. And I would call upon that assembly to also address means of assessing administrative effectiveness. Seventh, our physical image is somewhat tarnished, and this in turn tarnishes even further our morale and our ability to attract students. I suppose most of you have noticed by now the fact that in front of almost every entrance on this campus, we are now constructing a series of handicapped entrances and a variety of things like that. I know that many of you think this is a continuing administrative plot against faculty and students, and for all I know, it might be, but I do not think so. I think it is due to our own ineptness at the present time. We now have available to us approximately $350,000 for grounds beautification, and highest priority is being given to the Constitution Park area. Toward this end, I need to form a user committee, and before the snow flies next winter, I pledge to you the removal of the eyesore outside our doors here. However, our problems go further, and frankly, I guess I am embarrassed to bring students into some of our dormitories a week from now. This past Thursday, I took a general overview of the entire campus facility, was on every floor of virtually every building, so I would have at least on a superficial level some first-hand knowledge, and in some areas it's rather bleak. To some extent, our overbooking of the dormitories will probably take care of itself, for some of our units appear to be dangerous to both the social and emotional health of our students, and they will quickly leave them. I do not mean this as a criticism of any particular department, for in the area of student services and student housing, I am fully aware that some superhuman efforts have gone into offsetting our lack of aesthetics. It is, however, a criticism of ourselves as an institution, that we have allowed things to deteriorate to this extent, and for whatever reason, and the general reason proffered is lack of funds. But I stand before you today in a public declaration that this picture will change. While it is only a trickle of what needs to be done, I have committed to student services and student housing $50,000 to immediately provide some furnishings for the common areas of the upper dorm, which are in absolutely tragic shape. Additionally, I have spoken to Basil Hedrick of the museum about extending the concept of the museum to the establishment of many exhibits and displays throughout the campus. Before this year is out, we expect to have 25 such displays in place across our various buildings. I would like to do the same thing with faculty and student artwork. My understanding, although I haven't spoken to him, is that Stan Zielinski has some similar desires in this area, and I look forward to an early meeting with him regarding this. Towards similar general overall improvements, I have additionally charged Karen Setso, Director of Public Affairs, with heading an image campaign to improve not only our physical surroundings, but the general morale and esprit de corps of faculty, staff, and students. I seek your participation. I need your help and assistance in this campaign. Eighth, administrivia. Why does it take so many hands, so many pieces of paper, and so many signatures to get even the simplest of tasks accomplished here? That's a question. I don't have the answer yet. However, were I to allow it to continue, I could fully spend 2 hours a day doing nothing but signing my signature to documents, 75% of which do not provide me any basis for decision. That's a rather foolish type of process to be engaged in, and I refuse to allow it to continue. I am immediately beginning the decentralization of many of these. Further, by October 1st, the personnel office will have a 5-day turnaround on all position evaluations. Additionally, I am asking Dean Bill Phillips of the School of Management to conduct an efficiency review and to make recommendations to me for the overall improvement in our management and streamlining of our procedures. This will be a good test of how well we teach management to our students. Additionally, I expect attitudinal changes in our commitment to affirmative action and clear recognition of our need to improve our posture in hiring. The hiring agent, by the way, not the affirmative action officer in my particular point of view, is the one responsible for assuring that this improvement occurs. Ninth, perhaps what I consider to be the most pressing problem facing us is the lack of identity. That is, an identity as the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Our mission is not the U of A mission. We are but a part, albeit a major and important part, of this mission. In my view, this identity crisis exists because less than 10 years ago, the University of Alaska Fairbanks was the University of Alaska, and we have not yet fully made this transition. As a result of this identity crisis, this campus hasn't stressed and put forward its own unique strength. Actually, I think we are even having difficulty defining these unique strengths and features, and therefore we are not capitalizing upon them. What we must come to fully realize and accept is that this is the University of Alaska Fairbanks, the statewide residential campus of the University of Alaska system, the seat of organized research in this system. The University of Alaska Anchorage and the University of Alaska Juneau are not just branch operations of this campus, but all three of us are co-equal parts, along with the community colleges, of a statewide system of higher education. Connected with this is a reality, folks, and that is that those campuses, as well as the community colleges, are competing with us for a finite set of financial resources. You might wish to believe that because of the state's wealth, These resources are infinite. This is a myth. And as quickly as we can dispel this, the better off we will be, because in reality, the governor and the legislature will make a political determination as to how much is going to be spent upon higher education in any given year. Its internal disbursement, then, becomes a competitive process, and therefore our product, our education, and our research must be better, must be more effective, and it must be more efficient to justify solid and increased support. There are those who believe that because we are the most established campus in the system, that we need less of the new resources available each year. From my brief observations so far, it appears that this campus has been held in check so that other less developed units might progress. As a result, we have some critical shortages in a number of areas: instructional equipment, professional travel for faculty. The continuing accreditations of some of our professional schools have been followed very closely by professional accrediting associations, indicating less than full confidence in our quality. Ladies and gentlemen, we must assure that what we are currently doing, we are doing well before embarking on new paths. But we also have a need to focus more to determine whether or not we ought to be doing all that we are currently doing. And we must also have the courage to say no. This is not within our mission. Therefore, let us shift the resources to greater needs. I call upon all of you to assist in this process of further delineating and clarifying our role, in translating this role to our general public, and in using our resources to their fullest potential. I shall be establishing action groups to address many of these areas over the course of this year, and I do indeed need your help. From my particular vantage point at the present time, I think it's going to be a great year and an even better decade. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming. The primary purpose of this convocation is just to provide information to you and to receive any questions, comments from you relative to the FY83 request as it is now going forward to the Board of Regents at their meeting next week, next Thursday and Friday, to be held here in Fairbanks at the Wedgwood Manor. Of course, all board meetings are public meetings, and individuals are free to comment as they choose. You have been given a handout. I will work from that first, and perhaps if you would allow us to move all the way through that and then open up for questions after we're done, I think it'll provide you with an overall perspective. There are a number of parts to the budget. For FY83, we have broken down into two sectors for the University of Alaska Fairbanks: organized research and the campus operations itself. We have also included the capital improvements program for FY83 as it is going forward, and we have included the six-year capital improvements program as it now stands. I'll comment upon those as we move along. In terms of overall perspective for the University of Alaska Fairbanks, here is pretty much how it looks. We give you the FY81 actual, FY82 authorized base, 83 continuation, then increments, and our actual request. As you can see, moving across,
Organized research is being supported at 22.9% increase in 83 over FY 82, 12.9% for the campus operations, Juno, statewide administration, CREE, are all available to you there. Relative to the comparison, if you were to take our 22.9 for organized research and 12.9 for campus, you would come out with approximately a 15.6 overall increase for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. This compares with the statewide request of 16.9%. As I think you might be aware from prior comments that I have made to you, the University of Alaska Juneau is undergoing some very severe problems relative to accreditation, and the highest priorities, both in terms of gross dollars, percentage increase, and priority numbers in the statewide budget request, have gone in FY 83 to the University of Alaska Juneau. In terms of an overall breakdown by what we would refer to as components, this is pretty much how it looks. The breakdown that you see, instruction, research, public service, etc., is a breakdown used by the National Center for Higher Education Management Systems, NGEM, and includes both direct and indirect costs. So, for instance, in terms of instruction, not only would you have faculty salaries, supplies within that number, but you would also have any clerical costs associated with faculty, faculty travel, equipment, etc. As it pertains to our campus, which I think are the important items to look at here, the entire request for research, of course, is in the research area. The primary emphasis in the budget appears to be in the instructional area. You can comment on that later on as we get into the individual increments as to whether or not you believe those numbers. And institutional support normally refers to overall administration of the institution, including admissions and records, business services, etc. Academic support normally includes library, that's the primary one here, but it would also include media services and actually academic administration normally falls in their deans, etc. Is that in our academic support, Bill? Okay. But those are the three items primarily. This year, in an attempt, I suppose, to keep the legislature and the governor's office from moving into specific position-by-position calculations on our budget, the university has attempted to provide it in a more macro level to the governor's office and the legislature. So, for instance, in the area of organized research, we have essentially seven overall packages that we are putting forward, which total well over $2 million. This past year, or I guess just about a month ago, we broke ground in Seward for a new public education facility there for the Institute of Marine Science, a $1 million facility. Actually, we're seeking an extension of that project in the capital budget, another $2 million, to complete the design as in originally envisioned by the Institute of Marine Science. The $80,800 requested in this budget is for the actual operating costs, heating, fuel, etc., for that facility, based on when we think it'll be coming online. The second item, Landsat Quick Look Project, this was an item that we thought we had funded this year in the final days of the budget decisions by the governor's office. It was vetoed. Capital money had been provided the last 2 years, I guess, for this particular project. It is necessary that we make it operational in the next fiscal year. The primary balance of the budget in organized research, items 3, 4, 5, and actually 6 and 7, are attempts to shore up what has been a difficult situation in research and what is possibly a more exacerbated situation this year, given federal budget reductions in certain organized research areas. So in many ways, you could not view these things as new services, but an attempt to replace with state money some of the federal dollars that have been supporting our research efforts. I think the general view and feeling is that it is our desire to try to shore up the fine programs that we have, put faculty on a better base of support, and then look at expansion once we have that in place. So essentially, items 3 through 7 would be of that type of character. Those are the last two. The rest of the budget for the Fairbanks campus has been broken into essentially 10 incremental packages. The first one, $509,000, again is an attempt to replace the loss of some critical federal dollars. All of the items shown under that program request are current operations of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The Exceed program, Title VII, and Teacher Corps have been canceled by the Reagan administration. KUAC TV and radio, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, has received some severe cutbacks from the federal government. These will be passed along to the local public service radio stations. The College of Arts and Sciences has had a key function of managing the concert hall supplied by the CETA program, which is gone, or will be gone. And the School of Mineral Industry has had a number of scholarships supported by the Mineral Industry Institute. Okay. The second priority is an attempt to improve some existing services. The $126,000 would be spread across the college and school budget, primarily for faculty travel, but also for some essential services. It's an attempt to shore up our inability to provide professional activities for faculty on a regular basis. I'm sure that we have a long way to go, but this might be a step in that direction. The third priority actually was one of the highest out of the policy and budget team, was an attempt to improve the administrative services of the University of Alaska Fairbanks safety and security operations. The purchasing central receiving ties into the new facility, which is currently being built. The fourth package is in the area of instructional support. The academic support area in the School of Agriculture and Land Resource Management is primarily funding of a dean's office, which has been unfunded so far and has been carried by the Agricultural Experiment Station, although we do have a full-time dean for the school, and then other support for CES and the College of Mineral Industry. The WAMI program has a need to meet its commitments to the University of Washington. That's in Package 5. Package 6 is the first major faculty staffing package that we have. This one deals primarily with the College of Environmental Science and the College of Arts and Science. And this was the emphasis generally placed by the policy and budget team. Priority 7 is a faculty package primarily for the professional school. Now, I should indicate that before any of these increments, there was some reallocation of resources performed by the policy and budget team, and some schools and colleges received some guaranteed increases that actually fall within the continuation level of the budget and will not appear as increments. But Package 7 is primarily for the professional schools and follows generally the priority rankings as they came from the professional schools. Package 8 is an attempt to improve the admissions and records situation. I'm told that this area has not had any staff increases in approximately 7 years. Is that correct? Excuse me, they had one for this year, but other than that, no increases despite the increasing pressure on enrollment. Package 9, most of which will be on the next page, is actually support service positions for the various programs on campus. And finally, Package 10 is an attempt to begin movement toward expanding our summer sessions and visiting professorships, which we would like to put some stress on. That, ladies and gentlemen, essentially totals $2.8 million in new program requests spread throughout the various colleges. The university's total capital request consists of two parts, a general obligation bond project, which normally fund large new construction, and then direct appropriations from the legislature. Of course, this item is being discussed by the legislature as to how they will actually handle it, and GO bond projects could wind up as direct appropriations and vice versa. This will be determined later on. Essentially, the university is requesting 12 projects statewide. Four of those projects will have direct impact upon us. This is a priority order that is coming out of statewide. The addition to the LV building, we have $500,000 for planning of this facility this year. We do hope to receive the actual construction monies during this next legislative session. The statewide services building, if it is funded, would also provide a major impact to this campus. Essentially, statewide administration would be able to vacate 8th floor Greening and the space occupied in the Bunnell building and turn that back to the campus. The fourth priority up here is a student housing complex. Approximately 2 to 250 bed spaces is anticipated. We have, again, $500,000 for planning of this facility this year. So this will perhaps begin to alleviate some of the overcrowding student conditions that we have. It's important to realize that even on a fast track of direct appropriation, any of these projects is a minimum of 2 and most probably 3 years away from moving into. The final project up here that would have direct impact upon this campus would be number 10, a facility for Tenenbaum Valley Community College. Should they receive the funds and build this facility, they, of course, would be vacating space that they have, spread throughout the campus, the Greening Building, Duckering, Constitution Hall, etc. So if all four of those projects make it in the governor's list and ultimately receive approval from the voters, in about 3 years we could have a major alleviation of our space conditions. The next two pages in your handout, which I won't go through on the overhead, is essentially a listing of the capital projects, the direct appropriation projects. These are approximately somewhat over $40 million. Our entire capital request is about $190 million. The next three pages and the three overheads that I'll deal with is the six-year capital improvements program as currently in the works by the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Let me hasten to add that this particular program is subject to a lot of massaging. Actually, it's been massaged somewhat already. The governor's office requires that we submit in any year a six-year capital improvements program. I think we have had difficulty in the system bringing together planning for our operational budgeting and planning for our capital budgeting. Over the course of this year and next year, hopefully we need to bring these much closer together. And I encourage you that if you disagree with the placement of any of the priorities as you see them in the six-year capital improvements program, that you will make this known. Through the university assembly, we will be putting together a facilities... Ben? He's enjoying it. Through the university assembly, we will be putting together a continuing facilities use planning group and making this one of the primary functions of the assembly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am most pleased to join you as a member of the Fairbanks community and the North Star Borough, and hope to not only maintain the already good relationships which have been established between the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the community, but to even further improve upon these. I suppose I would offer a compliment first before starting out. That is, there's an interesting phenomena that I've observed after my 17 years living in different places across this state. The first is, with the exception of our Alaska Native population, in Fairbanks I have met more native-born Alaskans than in any other city in Alaska. Secondly, I have met more people who have stayed in this community, so that probably your average tenure is much longer than any other city in Alaska. And third, those few unfortunate people that I've met around the state who once lived in Fairbanks seem always to be waiting for the right opportunity to return, for they've always considered this home. I think that speaks well of our community, and after 10 years, I guess I too am happy to be home. When I first learned a couple weeks ago that I was to address the Chamber's general membership after a sum total of 3 weeks on the job, I felt that was a little bit audacious, to say the least. For really, I need to listen to you for a long period of time. However, perhaps because of my newness and freshness to this position, it is an ideal time to share with you some first impressions on the state of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and to indicate to you some initial plans and directions that we might explore cooperatively over this next year. First, I'm happy to report that at the present time, it looks like we are having about a 17% increase in applications and acceptances to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. As of the 21st of this month, we had 3,165 applications, which compared to 2,669 a year ago at approximately that same period of time. Needless to say, this number has caused a number of ramifications for us up on campus. We need a number of additional sections of certain classes, additional faculty, adjunct faculty, additional classrooms, labs, dorms, etc. However, we are coping. But in the future, I think we must improve our enrollment projections so that we can tie them much more closely to our planning system and not be in quite the type of crunch that we are at the present time. I do believe in the service orientation of the land-grant university, which the University of Alaska Fairbanks is, and toward this end, a few weeks ago, we reopened the application and admissions process to the University of Alaska Fairbanks, although the formal date had closed. I do not think we ought to be in a posture of turning away those students who meet our acceptance criteria, and so we are making every effort that we can to process these late applications and to take them in. In terms of the immediate future, I guess this will portend for us some larger classes, certainly increased efficiency on our part, and a gradually tighter scheduling. The second problem, perhaps, that we are beginning to experience at the present time is a degree of turbulence and uncertainty in our research institutes. Due to the tightness of the federal budget and the reduction of certain programs, we're not sure exactly what's going to occur over the course of this year. As you may or may not know, approximately 80% of our research effort has been supported by the federal government. However, for that research which is vital to Alaska as it sets its public policy, we will be seeking some increased state support so that our research activities might truly reflect the state needs rather than to be constantly tracking in search of the federal dollar. Third, our summer programs, while slightly improved this summer, I guess I would have to say it's not particularly overly exciting at the present time. As a matter of fact, it's a little bit dull and boring on campus in the summer months. I think we must look much more closely at a trimester system in addition to our regular and special summer sessions. And given our natural environment, I truly believe that over the course of the next few years, we can be a splendid place for summer study, and so that eventually we will make maximum utilization of our facilities by having students here on a year-round basis. Fourth, unfortunately, preliminary review indicates that we are probably not doing the job in the development of Alaskan Native leadership. In almost two decades, our progress appears minimal, and yet these people depend upon this institution almost solely. Some preliminary facts indicate that, one, in 1963, 81% of the Alaska Native students at the University of Alaska Fairbanks did not re-enroll. They left and did not re-enroll. In 1975, almost 12 years later, that figure was still 75%. So there has not been a great deal of progress in that decade. In 1963, 12% of the entering Alaska Native freshmen had ACT scores of 10 or below. In the late 1970s, 55% of our entering Native freshmen had scores of 10 or below. Somehow we have not been attracting the top quality Alaska Native students across the state. In the late 60s and the early 70s, the number of Alaska Native graduates from the University of Alaska Fairbanks increased dramatically. Late 60s, early 70s. However, this number fell off again in the late 70s. In any event, I hope to reestablish a commitment and find a way to improve this picture. The regional Native corporations, as a group, make up the single largest block of the private economy. And they have asked, and we need to reply with providing them a continuing stream of a trained and educated leadership. Fifth, it appears that we have a number of minor international programs underway, but that we have not addressed as an institution or at the institutional policy level what the University of Alaska Fairbanks ought to be doing in the international arena. Alaska is in a key position economically in the world market. We have some natural ties with Asian nations and some common problems with other northern latitude countries. Over the course of this next year, I hope to examine our institutional purpose and potential in the role of international education with an idea towards setting some major policy goals in this particular direction. Sixth, those of you who have been up on campus lately might have observed that our campus's physical image is somewhat tarnished, and unfortunately this in return has a tendency to tarnish our morale and ability to attract students. We now have available approximately $350,000 for a grounds beautification program, and highest priority is being given to that area between Wood Center, Constitutional Hall, and the Greening Building, the gravel pit as it's frequently referred to, and we hope that by the start of the fall semester next year, we will have made some major improvements in this area. Our problems, however, go much further than this. I recently completed a general walkthrough of the entire campus, and frankly, I'm somewhat embarrassed to bring students into some of our dormitories a week from now. Because of some quirks in financing, maintenance in some of these areas has fallen a great deal behind, and some of the dorms, particularly the upper dorms, are in particularly poor shape. I don't mean to be critical of any department within the university, but I am being critical of us as a public institution, and I suppose publicly declare here today that we're going to reverse this pattern of deteriorating maintenance shortly and in the near future. We've taken some short-term steps immediately to provide some funds for new lounge furnishings and a variety of other things to try to make things immediately more attractive, but we need to embark immediately on a long-term program. Additionally, I've spoken with our museum director about extending the concept of a museum throughout the campus, and by the end of this year, we expect to have approximately 25 mini-exhibits in our different public buildings across the campus. We'll be working with the art department toward the display of faculty and student art across the campus, and in general, trying to spruce up our overall image. Seventh, and perhaps what appears to be a major permeating problem, is the lack of an identity. That is, an identity as the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Our mission is not synonymous with the University of Alaska mission. We are but a part of this, albeit a major and important part. In my view, this identity crisis exists because less than 10 years ago, the University of Alaska Fairbanks was the University of Alaska, but we have not yet fully made the transition. As a result, I think this particular campus has not stressed and put forward its own unique strengths. And actually, in the last half decade or so, has had some difficulty defining what these unique features are, and therefore we have not capitalized upon them enough. What we must really come to fully realize is that the University of Alaska Fairbanks is the statewide residential campus, the heart of all organized research for the University of Alaska system, but that it is an equal partner with the University of Alaska Anchorage, the University of Alaska Juneau, and that those units are not just branch campuses of this. It is indeed a statewide system of higher education headed by a president with reasonably autonomous campuses throughout. Connected with this, folks, is a reality that those campuses, as well as the community colleges, are competing with us, the University of Alaska Fairbanks, for a finite set of financial resources. You might wish to believe that the state's wealth, that because of the state's wealth, these resources are infinite. This is indeed a myth, and we should quickly dispel it. For the reality is that the governor and the legislature will make a political determination as to how much is going to be spent on higher education in any particular year. The internal disbursement, then, of these funds becomes a competitive process across the various campuses, and for us to compete, our product, that is our education and our research, must be better, more effective, more efficient to justify the increased support. There are those who believe that because the University of Alaska Fairbanks is the oldest campus and perhaps the most developed campus in the system, it requires less than other units in terms of the new resources available. As a result, it seems that it has been held in check somewhat over the past few years so that the less developed units might develop. Because of this, we're now experiencing a number of critical shortages in the areas of instructional equipment. I've mentioned some of the maintenance problems that have occurred. Some of the professional accrediting associations are closely following our professional schools, visiting us more often than we would care to have them visit. In any event, we're going to have to take a look at these and realize that we have got to put forward our best arguments to justify continuing new wealth to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Additionally, we need to focus ourselves somewhat, and again to realize that the entire U of A mission is not the entire mission for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. So we must capitalize on those things that we do well and put them forward. And I would call upon you as leaders in the community to assist us in translating our goals to the public and in obtaining the necessary support to do the job effectively. Finally, there is an increasing educational emphasis on the short-term older adult learner. And this provides perhaps an interesting arena for mutual collaboration between the university and the private business community. In addition to our 3,700 degree-seeking students, which we had last year, the University of Alaska Fairbanks also enrolled over 7,000 continuing education students in our conferences and institutes program. We have a wealth of talent on campus and ready access to additional national and international talent. And if some top-notch conference facilities were available and provided, we could offer a major year-round program which would continue to bring people into this community on a continuing basis throughout the year, even during the dark months of winter. The financing, building, and operation of such a conference institute might indeed be something that could be done by private enterprise with the cooperation and assistance of the university, and I would be very much interested in exploring this with the general community. These are some of our problems, some of my first impressions, and some of the directions that we will be exploring this year. I thank you for your continuing support of our endeavors, and I'm sure that I will be here again seeking it in the future. Thank you very much.